Welcoming back to the program, Father Bill's Mainspring President and CEO, John Yaswinski, for an update on how they're coping during this pandemic, and also about some really exciting news, John, about your new housing resource center. How are you?
Good, very good. Thank you, Joe, for having me today.
No, it's always a pleasure to get an update. One of the hardest hit communities have been the vulnerable populations that you serve. How are you coping right now?
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, when we first got hit with the COVID last spring, we knew we needed to separate our people, socially distance them. And so, yeah, the community's really stepped up. And, we're happy to say that, as soon as we were able to depopulate Father Bill's shelter and keep everybody kind of 6 feet from each other, our infection rate went below 1%. And now we're happy to say about 65% of the population has been vaccinated. So things are going in the right direction there, and just continuing to hope to educate everybody and continue. And you can't say enough of Manic Community Health Center has been a tremendous partner, kind of always doing surveillance and universal testing for our staff and our guests, and providing the vaccine, during the winter was key. So it's been a great piece there. And the city of Quincy was helpful early on with helping to get the South Shore Y, and then helping us through some of the FEMA programs, making sure that we could be in the different hotels to kind of make sure we can shelter everybody.
Yeah. Are there any guests at the Broad Street shelter right now?
Yeah. So we've always had, usually we average around 140 people a night, and we could only have about 58 to 60 people at any given night. So we've kind of been in that 40 to 50 range pretty consistently at Father Bill's place. And then we've been at the Best Western now for a little over 7 or 8 months, about 100 people there. So.
Okay, so definitely the need has not subsided.
No, I think one of the things we've been always lucky in Quincy, and it's really been having a low threshold shelter and always developing housing, is we've had, compared to a lot of other cities the size of Quincy, we've always had a very small, unsheltered street population. People just, in single digits now for the last 10 years. But we did see with the pandemic in the spring and the summer and not having the shelter beds, we did see the unsheltered population grow by 30%. That number has gone down, but we have a waiting list. I've been here over 20 years. We've never had a waiting list. So there's a lot of people that are kind of doubled up right now, lost their jobs, been evicted, or just in tough times, struggling and need a safe place to stay.
Hmm. Well, there was some positive news not too long ago. The governor came to the city, stood outside your front door, and gave you $4 million.
Yeah, it was a great day. And it really shows, really, it's going to go towards the new project, the Housing Resource Center, that will replace Father Bill's shelter. And again, we couldn't have gotten the support from the state if we didn't have the local political will. So, we had the mayor there who's been very committed to making sure that Father Bill's has a home. And then we had, of course, our friend Ron Mariano, the new speaker, who's been influential in supporting our mission, and the whole delegation, plus the city council, who has supported the project and the 99-year lease that we needed to go get capital funding. So it was just a great day where the city showed the state that we are serious about not just managing homelessness and having a compassionate response, but ending it with a new model. And it was exciting to have the governor, the lieutenant governor, the secretary Keneally from economic development and housing. I kind of joked with the lieutenant governor that they brought the whole band there. Usually when you have those announcements, you might get one or two kind of state officials, but I think everybody was really excited about this. This is a bold initiative. It's a new project, not just for the city of Quincy, not just for the state, but I think for the country.
Really? So you think it could serve as a national model to end homelessness?
I think hopefully it's a new way. Exactly. We've been going out there and looking at best practices, and we've learned a lot from people, but we haven't seen necessarily a model that brings it all to one place where you're doing prevention, making sure that people don't end up at your doors, diversion, you know, people getting discharged from state systems and maybe pushing back and helping those people never come to our doors, all the way to rapidly rehousing people. If somebody just needs first, last, and security to move in, let's give them the funds immediately. Let's be really smart and strategic about the resources and the interventions. And doing that all in one location, I hope, is a place that other people can look at, absolutely.
Yeah. Can you tell us, John, about this plan, about the Housing Resource Center planned for Broad Street, right across from your current shelter? What is the project entail?
Yeah, so what we're hoping now is there's two phases or two buildings. The first building is the Resource Center that will replace Father Bill's shelter. And it really will still have emergency beds, but it still will really serve as a daytime community resource center for people that aren't just homeless, but are people maybe that are struggling and maybe going to face homelessness to call us, to come down. You know, we'll have a licensed healthcare clinic there. We'll have a job specialist, employment people there, helping people get jobs. So we're hoping to have a lot of daytime programming, which is very different, where our shelters usually are just nighttime shelters funded by the Commonwealth. We're looking at it as a 24/7 community center for people that are at risk of homelessness and or are struggling with it, and really welcoming the community resources to come in, to have the other providers like Quincy Community Action and Bay State Community Services. And, you know, so bringing other players to the table, Manic Community Health Center, having healthcare stuff going on is, you know, bringing people together to leverage as much as we can. And so our hope is that we now, with the state funding, we are doing a capital campaign to raise the rest of the money for that particular project. And we're hoping to break ground in the late fall and start the construction for the Housing Resource Center. And then we're still waiting to hear about funding for the phase two, which is 30 units of permanent supportive housing, permanent housing that would kind of connect the two buildings. And if we get good news about that in the next couple of months, then we'd start construction, you know, hopefully by late winter of next year for the second phase.
Okay. So how much do you need? How much is it going to cost?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, you know, so the total project right now is for both buildings all in is a little over $23 million. And so we're hoping that the state money that we receive, plus, you know, other public resources that we're waiting on the state on, to get confirmed, that we privately need to raise about $6 million for the capital from the private community, and about $1.5 million we want to raise for some of the program innovation and operations. So $7.5 million is what we're shooting for as a comprehensive campaign. But I'm happy to say that we haven't really kicked off the campaign yet, and we've already got $3.7 million in commitments. So we're very excited about the energy of the community, the leaders, our supporters for long term, that are excited to be a part of an innovative new approach to combat homelessness.
Yeah, is this going to require increased staffing and bringing on more professionals, John?
Yeah, we definitely will have what we call more, triage. We're calling them triage workers, but more people right at the front doors that are handling the prevention calls, handling people. We want more resources to have flexible resources to help people pay that back rent or pay that first, last, and security. So we definitely will have more people, because right now we're only funded for nighttime services. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to get more. We'll have to raise a little more private money, get some more public money to have people there during the day that are really helping moving people saving people.
Yeah. What is on the site right now, the proposed site for the new center? What's there now?
So the new site that we're going to is right across the street from Father Bill's. It's 39 Broad Street, and then it's 40 Field Street. But it's right now it's an old one-story commercial building. The city of Quincy took ownership of it this past year, and now we have a 99-year land lease. So You know, we'll be demoing that building and putting up a new building, but it's been a commercial site for a long time.
Okay. And what about an interim plan? Obviously, folks still need a place to stay during this process.
Yeah, definitely our timeline to when we're going to start our project and get it done, the city definitely to build their new police headquarters needs us to move out of Father Bill's prior to that. So we're working with the city on renovating part of the commercial building on the parcel we're moving to create a new temporary Father Bill shelter. So we would be relocated there whenever they need us to be, and then we'll start construction. So it will definitely be a very busy site of people still needing shelter, but also a major construction site. So we're hoping to keep it all, work with the city on keeping it all on that site together.
Okay, so there'll be a transition process that'll go forward, yeah. How will you actually determine, you know, who will live in the 30 permanent housing units, John? What's that process look like?
Yeah, it's kind of all through the state funding that happens, where it will be targeted for homeless people that are kind of in our area. And there is a lottery. So people at the shelter or that are in the greater Quincy community can apply. And we go through the state's requirements, and it's a lottery. You know, you kind of get your name picked out of the hat, okay. But you will have to have certain disabilities. We are targeting people, you know, that have severe disabilities. So not targeting people maybe that are working that can move on. We're targeting more people that what we call more chronic homeless people that could end up being homeless for a long period of time.
Okay, so this would be their permanent new home, essentially.
Yes, would. They have a lease. They pay 30% of whatever their income is towards the rent. So it will stay affordable for them. And it's been a model we've been doing at Father Bill's now, you know, for two decades. And the great thing with this is we've got about 93% of the people stay housed over 3 years in our type of supportive housing. You know, so, and it's been a real cost savings on a lot of medical issues and, you know, people ricocheting in and out of mental health institutions or treatment programs. What we've seen is a lot of those costs go down because they're not just fighting for where they're going to go every day with a bed, that they've got their own key, they got their own apartment. So it's really proven to be good for the people, good success and outcomes, but cost effective also.
Yeah, it really is representative of how much time and effort and study has gone into this. If you know, there's no other major metropolitan city in the country that's figured this out, yet here in Quincy, you've been able to work out this plan. It dedicates, I think, a commitment to the cause.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, even people that been a part of the mission, like Joe Finn, former city councilor and, you know, former executive director of Father Bill's, and Father Bill McCarthy. When I joined the mission, they were both there. And early on, it was always like, you know, John, let's keep focusing on housing. And so, you know, we've done our best to keep what the founders wanted, like Father Bill and Pastor Wismar and Sister Miriam, is, you know, let's not just look at a temporary shelter kind of response, let's look at more permanent supportive housing. And so we've tried to keep that type of an agenda going forward for the mission.
Yeah, you really have. You've held that standard since I have known Father Bill before, and then Joe Finn and then yourself. The mission has always been, let's take the sign down. And that is, you've never wavered from that. And here you are on the precipice of potentially doing it.
Yeah, I think at the press conference with the governor, I said, I think Father Bill is happy today. So, yeah.
Speaking of, is there going to be a new name for the new center? Have you thought about that at all?
So, you know, knowing that we have to raise, you know, over $7 million, we are working out a naming campaign. Okay. and hopefully recognizing people that want to be a part of this. At the same time, you know, we've always committed, you know, our first name was Quincy Interface Sheltering. Yep. And knowing that Father Bill was such a moral compass and really our angel, we named the company after Father Bill's in Mainspring. But we will definitely see how we also, you know, have him recognized in this building, but we are having naming opportunities for the facilities because we need to raise the money, and it's a great partnership with the families, the supporters, the individuals, and the corporations that hopefully and already have stepped up to support this wonderful project.
Yeah. Speaking of Mainspring, does this project entail anything there in Brockton?
So the one thing that it does entail is that a lot of the new delivery model, service delivery model, we are going to do in Brockton. And what we hope is that we will then replace the Mainspring shelter in the future with a new resource center and housing. And so you're right, the plans are already quietly in the works to see how we can duplicate this in the greater Brockton community. And we'd love to do this in Plymouth. Where people are talking about it in Attleboro. I'm on a call this afternoon with a group from Worcester that wants to learn about this. So people are calling, other people are looking at it. It's not, you know, I think everybody's looking at this is an opportunity right now, especially with COVID, that shows the time is now. We shouldn't be warehousing people. We can do better. And I think a public health crisis like COVID has shown us, putting a bunch of people in a big room is not a great response for homelessness. It's not good for the people. It's not good for the community as a whole.
Yeah, well, we've seen it in multiple settings like that, nursing homes, assisted living centers. You may be seeing a sea change going forward in many facets, I think.
I think one of the things we've seen is our partnerships in the hotels and motels. I know, because the hotels and motels had huge vacancies, but the idea that we've been able to give people their own rooms, just like when we give permanent housing, has led to a lot more people getting jobs quicker, mm-hmm. Helping with their mental health issues. You know, we have a lot of young adults right now as our fastest growing population. They're trying to finish college or mm-hmm. high school, but they're staying in a hotel room instead of sleeping on the floor at Father Bill's place, and they're 18, 19 years old. So we've seen the benefits of just the concept of, giving people their own personal space. We've seen suspensions go down drastically, because we've been able to give people more room, right? Think about your crowded house, mm-hmm. and if people are kind of at each other a little bit, blows up. But if you can go to your own room and calm down, and we're seeing that at the shelter, it just relieves the tension. Everybody having more space is good. It's good quality care.
Talk about a silver lining during all this crisis. That is certainly one of them for sure. How do folks support you, your capital campaign, John, going forward?
Yeah, so we'll be definitely over the next couple of months kicking off the campaign, and people can go to our website, helpfbms.org. Probably by end of spring, we'll be kicking it off. So definitely we'll pass the information on to you guys, to Joe, to get out there. And it will probably be like a year and a half campaign. So I'd love to come back and share more when we've kicked it off. But people can help now. We're still not having on-site volunteer activities at Father Bill's because of the pandemic. But we still are in need for prepared meals and bag lunches. So people want more information, they can go to helpfbms.org. And you can visit our website and see the wish list items, but food preparation, which was a 95% covered by our volunteers and volunteer groups, in-kind items people can still help us with right now, like flip-flops and some of the basic things like socks and underwear and t-shirts and, things like that. Even simple things like sunscreen. We got people that are out during the day and everything. So people can still think of us soaps and toothbrushes, and all those things are still needed, and people can drop them off still at the shelter. And, it's COVID safe. You can just call up and schedule an appointment to drop it off or drop it off.
Okay. Great to talk to you, John. And absolutely, we'll have you back as this campaign goes forward. But really, you're halfway there already.
Yeah, you're right. If listeners want immediately to learn more about the campaign, then they can absolutely, reach out to us at Father Bill's in Mainspring. Talk to myself or Katie Riley, our chief development officer. Best way is 508-427-6448. And we'd love to chat with people that want to learn more.
Great. Appreciate it. Please reach out if we can be of any help, and we'll definitely catch up again in the future.
Thank you, Joe, for your support, and QATV for continuing to let people know about what's going on at Father Bill's in Mainspring.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.